Hello, shiny happy people. I am Drupi Shah and I am back with this month's Shiny Happy People special, the Resilient Entrepreneur Limited Series podcast. Thank you for tuning in. My guest today is a first generation entrepreneur who is obviously great at what he does, since he went on to co-found one of India's most loved and possibly the country's biggest online fashion retailer, Myntra. He's none other than Vineet Saxena. An IIT Kanpur graduate, Vineet has built and managed several businesses and functions over his 23-year career. He started as a technology professional, and after working for 7 years, Vineet co-founded Myntra in 2006, where he successfully built a strong product catalog and scaled the technology and operations management, and of course, the team there. In his 16-year entrepreneurial career, Vineet has been at the helm of managing and scaling various functions, including technology, product, marketing, and operations. His forte is in driving operational efficiency and defining tech product growth. Post Myntra, Vineet co-founded and built a personal and beauty care e-commerce company, Violet Bag, and Indus Diva, an ethno-fusion apparel brand. At the beginning of 2020, Vineet co-founded Card91, a global payment issuance infrastructure company powering B2B payments. Its cutting-edge technology offers plug-and-play payment infrastructure for businesses and banks who want to issue cards to customers, vendors, employees, and partners. Okay, so now on to my conversation with the man himself, right after this short break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Vineet, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Duti. Pleasure always talking to you.
Great. So, Vineet, I would love to know more about your story, your journey as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure our listeners are also curious. What have you been up to? And as the podcast progresses, we will talk more in terms of what next for you as well, right? So how did your journey as an entrepreneur begin?
So my journey as an entrepreneur began way back in 2006, when there was a kind of a desire in me to start something of my own. And I guess some reasoning behind that and the seeds of that thought process were kind of sown when I started working with a few startups. So the first job in my career was a multinational company called Mahindra British Telecom, which you guys now know as Tech Mahindra. And after that, the next two companies that I worked in were both startups. And that is where I got a real flavor of a startup. And I quickly realized that there's a lot that can be done within the ecosystem of a startup, the culture, the hustle of a startup. You can actually achieve a lot many things that you can't do as a big company. So it was always in the back of my mind that something needs to be done on this front, at least from my end. I should try starting out of my own and see if I can actually crack a relevant problem that I can lay my hands on. Okay, so that is how the things started way back in 2006. I was telling you, I teamed up with my friend and batchmate from college, Ashutosh.
Yeah.
And we started a small tech services company, which was later called ByTech Solutions. And we would actually advise and develop technology for other startups who were looking for technology solutions and who were kind of challenged when it came to technology. Either they didn't have a technology team in place or they didn't understand the technology that well. So that is how it happened.
Thank you so much, Vineet, for sharing what you did. You mentioned a couple of things over here, right? One is the hustle. Second is the built-in agility that a startup brings as compared to a larger organization. And that's the allure for a lot of people to start up, is because it provides you this freedom to do, to take the direction that you want to, right? I'm also curious in terms of what kind of challenges would something like this bring?
So there are a lot of challenges when you start on your own. And I mean, it is not going to be possible for us to kind of go through all the challenges in a short duration of time. But let me just try to kind of cover the most important bits over here, which in my opinion are the challenges. Okay, so the way I started was that I initially was a technology person. Okay, I was a techie. And my exposure to the professional realm and you can say some of the business side was limited to the technology that I developed and also that the businesses for whom I developed that technology. Okay, mm-hmm. So probably some exposure over there. But when you start your own business, there are a lot of aspects that you need to take care of. You need to take care of hiring, you need to take care of finances, you need to take care of fundraising, you need to take care of employee engagement, okay? You need to ensure that you are constantly delivering investor stakeholder management, all those things. These are some things which are very new and overwhelming to, let's say, a person who is starting afresh. Okay.
Yeah.
So while for both myself and Ashutosh, I would say that one of the things was we, at that point of time, didn't think too much about this. Okay. So you can say that it was a kind of a scenario where we thought that probably let us see what is going to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? Okay. Let's just see that. Okay. So yeah. It was with that mindset that we kind of jumped right in. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think both of us were kind of really blessed. You still are, in that sense that the support that we got from our family, because it's not always easy to leave a well-paying job and jump right into doing something which potentially to other people has no future at all. Okay. And yeah. This I'm talking about 17 years back. So as of now, the startup ecosystem is well and thriving in India. Okay. But 17 years back, nobody had heard about startups at all. Okay. And it was being looked down. There was hardly any investors who would kind of fund you. Okay. So it was again a very, very I would say a belligerent decision that we had taken, okay? Mm-hmm. And had it not been the support that we had got from our family, especially our wives, we would not have been here.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned a few things, right? You mentioned that there are challenges around hiring, around finance, you know, getting the money to get the business up and going. You talked about employee engagement. You talked about stakeholder management. Which amongst this really stumped you? In that sense.
So I think the biggest thing that stumped me was the entire fundraising part in the beginning. Okay. And obviously, because one, I was not having any prior experience with that. I have never even met a single investor in my life till that point. Okay. Professional VC or an investor in my life at that point of time. So I really didn't know as to how to kind of engage with them. What are the things that they are looking for? When we started Mintra a year later, in fact, towards the end of 2006, Mukesh actually came with some of that expertise. Okay, so he was the one who was kind of guiding us and helping us along the way as to what to expect. But he was also fairly new. So it was learning for all of us. And we were also kind of up against the wall because, as I told you, that there was no ecosystem at that point of time.
Okay? Right.
So we had to kind of figure out our own way. We had to dig out the connects. We had to kind of reach out to the right people and talk to them and see what they have to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we see those days were a lot more stricter than what they are these days.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you have Shark Tank India, you have Draper Startup Houses, you have so many things in that ecosystem and the connections that you have. Just the number of people with the title founder today on LinkedIn is phenomenal, right? We didn't have that back in 2006. So I'm pretty sure that that was pretty challenging. But what I'm hearing is that networking and keeping the communication lines open really helped you overcome that huge challenge around fundraising.
Yeah. So it what we started doing was that we started going to, in those days, we had those tie events. Okay.
The Indus Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, yes. The Indus Entrepreneurs. So we started going to those events. We started going to some of the networking events. There were not too many happening, but whatever were happening, we actually made it a point that we would go and attend those events. So because I being a techie was mostly an introvert, and it was very difficult for me to actually go ahead and talk to an unknown person. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of let go of that fear and hesitation and develop this side of my personality where I would actually go randomly and talk to somebody who is just standing there down the way. Okay. So
yes.
It is what it is needed. And few, I would say, meetings with some of the other investors and all, we got the confidence that at least what we are doing and what we are learning very quickly is the right thing. Okay, this is the way to kind of grow. This is the way to engage with the investors, and let us keep building on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got this kind of validations, which kind of further pushed you in that direction that, okay, at least I know I'm headed the right way. Did you have any mentor or anybody who was helping you through all of this, or was it just you, Ashutosh, and Mukesh at a later point in time?
Yeah, so actually there was no mentor as such. We didn't have that concept of a mentor at that point of time. I would have really loved to have a mentor, okay? But the only mentorship I would say that we got was from some of the early investors that we had, or some of...
Okay.
Like Subrat was there from what you know as Excel Partners. Okay. Sudhir was there from what is now Chirate, and Vani was there from what you know as Kalari. Okay. Everybody has changed. Okay. So, yes. So there was some bit of mentorship from them. But again, that was again a relationship driven, because they were our investors. Okay. And a non investor mentee. A mentorship relationship was not there. Okay. So that was something which I missed. Which I think all of us missed.
Yes, and thankfully you are in a position now where you can offer that to other people, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're doing that. You know, thinking in terms of the challenges, right? And there were plenty that you faced, especially in the early days. Was there ever a point where you felt like, this is it? I cannot continue this.
There were actually several points like that. Okay.
Well, okay.
Not one, because see, the thing, and I would say the good thing about having a strong bonding between the founders is that, see, founders are essentially very different people. Okay. You, mm-hmm. and you need to have founders who come with complementary skill set and all. Okay.
Yeah.
So at any given point of time, if one of us, like there were three of us at that point of time, and let's say if one of us is feeling down for some reason, the other would come up and offer a kind of a helping hand. They would say that, okay, no, things happen. Okay. And then a few days down the line, it would be the turn of the other person to actually be there.
Yes.
So we have to be there for each other. Okay. And because it's a very, very difficult and a very lonely journey. Okay. And because whatever we are trying to achieve, the pain that you are going through is not something that other people can even begin to understand or share. Okay. You cannot even share it with your family members. You cannot even share it with your wives and all, because they would just say, okay, kisne bola tha karne ke liye? You can just back home. Okay.
Yeah.
But luckily for us, none of that happened. Okay. I would say that we were kind of good that way, that we learned all the right things and we did the application really well. So we were in the money kind of pretty soon. It was not a huge amount of money, but we actually raised the first institutional round of Mintra, which was 1 crore rupees in those days. This was, I think, early 2007 is when we raised it.
That's a huge sum back then.
Yeah. And then a year down the line, a year and a half down the line, we actually ended up raising our Series A round, which was of $4.5 million. Okay. So we knew that we were on to something, and what we were doing was definitely right, even though some of the business indicators were not as performing as well as what we had planned for them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So because you understand that in those days, e-commerce was a very nascent industry. Okay.
Yeah.
People hadn't heard about e-commerce at all. We faced difficulties with hiring. People would not realize that what they are getting into. Okay. And then there were scenarios where we had to kind of double up and fill a particular role because we were not getting anybody to kind of come up and this thing. One of the things which we were kind of lucky, I would say, was the fact that the initial set of team members that came and joined band with us was some of the folks who were like extremely, extremely enterprising, even though they were not the co-founders, but they were extremely enterprising guys and they were like brothers. Okay. So they would hang out together, whatever our issue was, it was their issue. We would actually band together and solve any kind of issue that would, any kind of problem that would come our way. Okay. So that is how we kind of grew together. We got a really good chemistry going on. So still friends with almost all of them. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a really good learning exercise, and we were learning all this time because you understand that we were techies, so we didn't mm-hmm. need anything other than technology. Okay.
Correct.
Now, especially apart from the first year in which I was kind of focusing on technology, the remainder of the time, I never even looked into the technology at Myntra. I was actually looking into setting up the operations.
Okay.
I was looking into setting up the product catalog management. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very different learning experience for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you not only had to kind of quickly realize that any and every important is even a small thing that you decide is going to give a huge impact to the ultimate customer experience. Okay.
Yeah.
What we did realize very quickly was the fact that if anything has to be built in e-commerce, it has to be only on the customer experience. Okay.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate thing. I mean, if mm-hmm. we can solve for that, then we are automatically successful. Okay. Because none of the guys out there were kind of working towards that. I mean, people had the same level of complaints, in fact, even worse than what they would have with a retail shop.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We were very, very clear and focused that this is something which we need to work on. And in fact, so much so that internally, our top 10 burning issue list were always driven only by the customer experience thing. So if there was a particular thing that was impacting customer experience, it automatically gained priority over everything else.
You're listening to the Shiny Happy People podcast with Vinay Kumar. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is sponsored by C2COD, your organizational development consulting partner, bringing people and strategy together. Follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the handle at C2COD and get updates on our upcoming episodes.
You know, what really caught my interest was you mentioned a few times that you are a tech person, right? Mm-hmm. And with your startup, you were into operations and catalog management as well, right? How did you find it in you to kind of pivot in that direction and not focus just on tech, which was your maybe something that you were passionate about, is what I would understand, yeah?
So the thing that basically kind of propelled me to do that was I vaguely remember reading some article, there were very few of them in those days, that if you are running a startup, then you should be practically ready to do anything. Okay. So whether it has got to do with even the packaging and the deliveries, okay,
mm-hmm.
it has got to do with building up the vendor base for the catalogs,
yeah,
marketing, operations, you name it. Okay. Finance, HR, you should be able to do all the things.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And if you are a person who kind of shies away from doing any particular thing or saying that, hey, listen, this is not something that I can do. Okay. Then probably startup is not the right place for you. Okay. Unless and until you have another person who is ready to kind of come in and cover that part. Okay.
Yeah.
If you are alone and you say that, oh, hey, listen, I cannot really go ahead and take care of the finances. See, you can always get people who will take care of your finances or will take care of the company finances. But you need to have an overall understanding of how these things work, because otherwise it will not do any good to the finances. Okay. I mean, these are vendors. Okay. So they can actually work only the way you actually ask them to work.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, absolutely. So doing what is needed for the startup to succeed, I think that is the key. And you know, you talked a lot around, you know, in terms of late nights, stretching yourself in different directions as and when required, right? But you also talked about some amazing things like, you know, the connection that you have with your co-founder, right? Where you complement each other's skill sets in that sense. Early employees, I heard, is also key to your success. So, you know, hire smart in that sense. Don't be in a rush, I believe, right? And being completely 100% involved in the startup. I think those are some of the things I heard, along with what's the worst that can happen, right? Yeah. So thinking about your journey so far, right? And today you have another startup, Card 91 as well. Thinking about your journey so far, how have you worked on your mindset? Like, how have you really trained your brain so that you can beat all these odds that you keep facing day in, day out, which I know is impossible to cover, not just in one interview, but several, because if I keep double clicking on that, we'll be sitting here for days together.
Yeah.
So I'm more curious in terms of the mindset as well. That as an entrepreneur, what are some of the things that you have to do, tangible things as well, that you do that helps you stand tall?
So I think the biggest thing one has to kind of realize when they are starting out is that there are only very, very few startups that succeed. Okay. Now you need to realize and actually question that part as to why does it happen? Okay. Why there are only so few of the startups that succeed and let's say more than 95% of them fail. Okay. So you have to start over there. And from that particular thing, you will actually start unraveling at least for an individual, I would say top four or top five items, which are most important in terms of the failure regions. Okay. And one of the biggest reason, which I have seen has led to the downfall of any particular startup, much more than the fact that they have run out of the money, is the mindset. Okay. So because the startup actually is born in your mind. Okay.
Yeah.
And at first it dies in your mind as well. Okay. So, basically your mind is the place where the startup gets nurtured. Okay. And if you throw in the towel, then that's the end of the startup. Whether you are capitalized, you are not capitalized, doesn't really matter. Okay. There are enough stories and enough, I would say, articles about some of the startups that have been doing really well and all of a sudden have vanished. Okay.
Yeah.
Even though they were kind of sufficiently funded. So the biggest thing is to have the right mindset. And when I say the right mindset, it is that you need to be in for the long haul. Okay. It's a fairly high degree of commitment. Okay. Fairly high degree of commitment. So if you are of a thought process that I can flip it in like 1, 2 years, 3 years, and can just make some money and get out of here, there are a lot of ways in which you can make money. So probably you are better off doing something else where you can actually have a greater probability in terms of turning it into a success and making money than a startup. So you need to ensure that you have given yourself a clear 7 years at least for this to work out. If you don't have those 7 years in your mind, then I would say that it's going to be difficult for you. Okay, because there are economic cycles that happens. So things go down and then they will go back up again. And I have been around for some time now. I have seen several of such economic cycles. Okay.
Yeah.
We are going through the down cycle as of now. About a year and a half back, things were extremely rosy. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but for some of the guys who are young and all, they have not seen it so far. So they have seen it for the first time and like the skies are falling down for them. So so you need to ensure that there are going to be really, really tough times. Okay. And not everything is going to be in your control. Okay. So if you are able to kind of pull yourself from those darkest of the times and still have the willingness to go ahead and march on, okay, then you should be starting up. Okay. You can start up with an idea. Very quickly, you will realize that that idea is not going to work. You need to pivot. Okay. And I think it happens with 99% of the companies. So you need to pivot. Your ability to quickly change, pivot, and not be hung up on that, oh, this is my idea and how is it that it is not working? I will just make it work. So you need to be not besotted by your idea, but rather the fact that you can actually get a solution of value or get something of value out there in the market, whether it is a product or a service. Okay. So it is not the idea that actually becomes important. It is actually the value creation process that becomes important. Okay. So as long as you are focused on the value creation process, you will come up with a workaround. You will come up with a solution. Okay. And that is what is very, very important. Okay. Because the investors will come in saying that, okay, hey, listen, we think that this is a great idea. Like what has happened in the last 1.5 years. Okay. It's a phenomenal idea. So then the RBI comes in and say, listen, you can't do this. You can't do that. So now everything goes out of the window. Okay. So what do? You kind of throw in the towel and say, hey, listen, RBI is not letting me actually build my startup. So that is not what RBI is trying to do. Okay. So you need to figure out how to build your startup. Okay. RBI can at any given point of time throw curveball at you, and tomorrow it might not be even RBI. It could be something else. Okay. Correct. So you need to be ready for that. Okay. And you cannot just say that since this is not going to be working because the environment is so challenging, I'm not going to be doing this. Okay.
Absolutely. At some fantastic points over here. You mentioned a timeline over here, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people go with their 3 to 5 year timeline. I don't know, for whatever reason. I mean, I do have my guesses, but the 7 year timeline that you talked about, what is the rationale? You did mention that, you know, you would have seen the economic ups and downs. Is there anything else that the 7 years gives you why you're saying that that is maybe a good timeline to have, at least 7 years?
The reason I am saying 7 years is because if the things go well for a startup, then 4 to 5 years is easily there. Okay.
Okay.
You take up that much time. But if you kind of get into a down cycle, like what we are into right now, then easily 1.5 years to 2 years get added to that. Okay. So that kind of brings you to a 7 year thing. And then there's another reason. What happens is that within the first couple of years, you realize that this thing is not going to work out, whichever way I try to pivot. Okay. But I still want to kind of give it another try, probably with a completely different idea. Okay.
Yep.
And then you at least need to have 5 years with you. So from both the perspective, you kind of need to figure out and arrive at that number of 7 years. What also happens is some of the guys, they after starting up and running it for about a year or so, they realize that this is not something for which they are cut out. Okay. So that is absolutely fine. I think the sooner you realize it, the better it is for you and for everybody else around you as well. Okay.
Correct.
Because running a startup is not only about the founders, it is also about so many other people you are touching, your employees, their families, your vendors, okay, your clients, customers, and all. You don't want to mess it all up. Okay. So if you are able to take a conclusive decision sooner, it's kind of better for everybody.
Absolutely. Vineet, in your case, like personally speaking, have you built any habits or practices that help you to continue going?
So one of the things which really used to kind of disturb me in my early days of starting up was the fact that some of these challenges were very new to me and I had never been exposed to those challenges.
Right. Okay.
So whether it is the fact that, let's say you are running low on cash professionally and the payroll after a couple of months is going to be looking difficult. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it weighs a lot on you. Okay. Because you have not faced that situation earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that kind of bogs you down. Okay. The fact that you are trying your best to deliver something and there is a customer out there who is just not able to see all the hard work you have put in. Okay.
Yeah.
and is still making your life and your startup's life extremely hard. Okay, is I would say a little easier to kind of still deal with. Okay.
Yeah.
But any kind of I would say any kind of challenge that directly involves the team, the existence, the motivation, okay, is something which is a bigger challenge to kind of take care of. Okay.
Yeah.
Because anybody who joins a startup actually joins the startup primarily because of the founders in the initial phases only.
Okay? Right.
It is you who that person is actually looking to. Okay. So if you kind of let that person down, then it is going to be a really, really, so that person might would have been able to do well, but just because things did not pan out well for her or him, he or she would not be able to kind of take up that career path again in their life.
Yep, okay.
Yep. You know, it's a very risky thing for me to do. Let me kind of just stick to a very stable kind of job. Although I believe the job is stable these days. Okay. But still.
Yes.
Coming back to the habits part of it. So
yeah,
one of the things which I developed was compartmentalization. Okay. Wherein I would block certain things out of my mind when I was actually working on few other things. Okay, so let's say if I end up in being a scenario where there's a vendor who is after me for payments, and I know that I am not going to be able to pay that vendor for the next 15 days, and even then I am not sure. Okay, because my payment has to come from somewhere else. Okay, my client has to kind of give me my payment. And then there's another order that the same vendor has to process. He won't process that unless and until you actually pay him. Okay, so it's a kind of a cyclical relationship. And unless and until you kind of sort it out for good, it is not going to be beneficial for you and your company. So I later on, I kind of developed that habit where I would compartmentalize. So I would not think too much about that when I am actually focusing on doing something else.
Yeah.
So it helped me to focus on the important things at one point of time and not really let other things cloud my judgment.
Yep.
Because this I had seen happen with so many other folks as well. Okay. Then secondly, I cannot emphasize more the habit of kind of winding down and keeping your mind free with whatever actually suits for you. So I am not saying that you should be running or you should be gymming or you should be singing or walking or doing whatever. It is different for different people. Okay, for some people, it is like sitting down with a person and talking to him or her for, let's say, half an hour every day. Okay,
yeah.
That actually helps them completely relax. Okay,
right.
So if it works for you, it works for you. But you need to have that one thing that works for you in order to kind of keep you firmly grounded and not let your mind go into a hyperdrive. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had my own thing. I used to pursue sports for some time, and I would spend time with my family, my wife, and some of my friends. Okay, so kind of relax. And that is how I was able to kind of keep a footing over here.
Yeah, let your mind be idle. Sometimes, let it not overthink, get into that overdrive mode that you're talking about. Anything else, Vineet, that you would want to share?
So, I mean, there are a lot of things that I can actually share, okay, but from the perspective of the resilience, I would say it is really, really important for one to realize that while there is too much noise about the startups and all these days, we need to basically look at the history a little bit and see that India has always been a land of entrepreneurs. Okay. And we see so many others. So these are not startups. These are businesses. Okay.
Yeah.
So the businesses, there is no nothing bad about kind of running a business. In fact, it, as per me, if you ask me, it's the best thing. Okay. Because the businesses make money from day one.
Yeah. Okay.
That is the kind of the thought process that goes behind it, because for them, they really cannot feed their family unless and until the business starts making money for them.
Exactly.
And there are so many around us. Okay. We just kind of get overly bogged down by the fact that the startup ecosystem, the funding and all those things. Okay. We need to realize that all these things have been existing long before the VCs and this startup thing happened. Okay.
Yeah.
it is a possibility that while you don't want to take the startup route, you are still entrepreneurial in nature, you can pick up a good business route. Okay. Where you are not going to be dependent upon external money to start with. Okay. And I have seen this with some of my friends who actually started pretty early, like almost 20 years back. Okay. 21, 22 years back. And in those days, since all of us were doing technology and that was a thing that we knew, so they started technology services company. Okay. Now, with a services company, you always start making money from day one. Okay.
Right.
At least on paper, till the time your customers are not paying you and you end up in being in trouble. So, so again, there were cycles as well. There was a 2002 cycle, 2003 cycle. There were customers who were not ready to pay, who couldn't pay actually. And there was a threat of existence of all these companies as well, but they quickly came out of it. Okay. And there was no dependency on like kind of external investment or fundraising as such.
Correct.
They grew up to actually do really well. Okay. So sizably large companies, founders made money for themselves. They made career paths for so many of their employees. So when we are thinking about entrepreneurship, it is not only about their startups. Okay. It is not only about raising funds and kind of growing the team and all. Okay. Although I have done that. Okay. But this is something that I have kind of looked around and I have, because there are so many vendors that I have worked with in the past. And I have been wondering all the time that these guys are actually doing a phenomenal business. They are not answerable to anybody. They have not raised external money. And they are basically generating and creating value. Okay. So there's a lot to learn from these folks as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys who are not going to be written in a book. Okay. Most of these guys, let's say, except for Future Group or Reliance and all those guys. Okay. But most of these are not written.
No, and that's the reality. It's not as sexy to put them in the book as compared to an entrepreneur who has had a startup. Let's accept it. Let's call it out for what it is. Yeah.
Yes, it is. So, so sometimes it kind of really bothers me that this thing is overhyped and overplayed by media to an extent. And there might be people who are kind of jumping into this thing for wrong reasons. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you do that, then you are actually doing a disservice to yourself, is what I could say. Okay. Because I've seen people kind of coming into it and saying, hey, listen, aajkal to bahut paisa mil raha hai, and we will quickly raise some funds and then we will actually flip it around, sell it to some other company and then get out and we would have made our millions.
Yeah.
So I would just wish them best of luck. Okay. And but yes, Duti, you are right. Okay, so this is something which has to be tempered on a little bit. I don't know how it is going to happen, but better sense has to prevail. Okay,
yeah.
And we should not get overly enamored by the fact that the glamour or the sexiness of this entire thing is only like a very, very minuscule percentage. Okay, nobody sees or nobody talks about the blood, sweat, and tears that you actually have to endure. Okay.
Absolutely. And that's my hope, you know, that we talk about that a little bit more boldly as compared to, hey, look at the millions I raised, look at the billions I've made. Right? I mean, the Lamborghini and the Porsches are great at the parking lot, but when it comes to real thing, right, it's what you've endured to get there is what we are made of, right?
Yeah.
And that's what will inspire generations to come.
Sure.
When we talk about stories like these. So thank you so much, Vineet, for your time. Really, really appreciate what you've shared. And I'm sure our listeners will benefit great deal from this. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Duti, for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely.
After listening to Vineet, I feel we are so spoiled today. As entrepreneurs, there are so many options that we have. And when they started off, they had no mentor, no coach. And the question they kept asking themselves was, what's the worst that can happen? Let's try it out, right? A true entrepreneurial spirit in my mind. So, Ramana, what stood out for you in this conversation?
So, you know, I think, of course, first of all, thanks to Vineet for taking the time out and sharing his journey with us and our listeners. So I was just thinking, you know, listening to him, one thing that stood out for me. So, Druti, you know, in your book, you've highlighted one of the key elements to building your resilience. Is having or creating that support system around you through friends, family, peers, colleagues, right?
True.
Vineet illustrates this very component of resilience building when he talks about how he and his co-founders were there for each other, helping, motivating each other, right? And I think this was crucial for him because, like he pointed out, he could talk to his co-founders about the business in a way that he couldn't with his wife or his family.
Yeah.
So I think that was a great real-life illustration of resilience right there.
Absolutely. And I think that strong bonding between the founders who come with complementary skills and mindset is so, so critical.
Yeah.
And what I also really liked was they created a core team of superheroes, you know, who shared their passion, who stood by them no matter what. No questions asked.
Yep.
We're there for you. I think that's half the battle won, especially when it comes to the mindset, right? And to that, I would just leave our listeners with one thought, which, and I'm quoting Vineet over here, is that the startup is born in your mind and that's where it dies first. That is powerful for me. Do whatever it takes, people. But if you believe in your idea and if you have the self-efficacy, find out ways to make it work. So another brilliant conversation with another great entrepreneur. We'll be back with more interviews. Until then, take care, stay safe.